Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. And it's not a competition, but like if it was, I would totally win the season with Wayfair. Giant outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments in every style and color, yep, got those on Wayfair. Garland, accent pillows, cozy throws, nutcrackers, Wayfair, Wayfair, Wayfair. When it comes to hosting, Wayfair's got me covered there too. I got a brand new dining table set that fits the whole family, sheets and towels for extra guests, and even the cutest holiday bed sheets for the kiddos. All thanks to Wayfair. And the best part, I got it all shipped fast and free. It's a Wayfair holiday miracle, y'all. I'm not saying there's a champion of Christmas or anything, but if there was, it'd be the lady with the year-round Christmas village who shops at Wayfair. That would be me. For everything festive and just your style, all delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or download the Wayfair app to totally win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
The Curse of the Superhero. I'm Jason Horton.
I'm Rebecca Lieb.
And this is Ghost Town.
A Hollywood actor has been sentenced now for attacking his roommate with a sword and killing him. A judge in Lancaster sentenced this man, Ricardo Medina, to 6 years in prison. Medina appeared in the popular children's TV series Power Rangers, and he pleaded guilty to stabbing Josh Sutter to death with a sword in 2015 after an argument. Well, today the victim's family talked about their pain.
We also hope that everyone that looks at Ricardo from now on will never see him as a celebrity, but as nothing more than a cold-blooded killer.
Prosecutors say the two were arguing about Medina's girlfriend. Okay.
I watched Power Rangers when I got home from school with my little brothers. It was more for them, but I was definitely one of those people that was exposed to a lot of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the original incarnation, for a lot of my middle school into high school life. Four bowls of cereal, watching this show, and I had no idea at the time and then throughout the rest of my life that there was such a like stigma attached to it. Like, it's like the poltergeist curse. It's very dark, and all of these things are happening pretty much in a span of like 10 years, I would say, and very violent, deadly things.
They're like child stars, but older. And when you represent a superhero, probably the pressure is like, well, everything you do must be heroic.
Exactly. Like, you have this persona to uphold. But then I think about it too, and I'm like, it's a show that ran for a really long time. Of course you're going to get some bad things happening during a show that has such a like a long lifespan. But this is a lot, I will say. This is a fair amount of nefarious stuff happening, again, in a very short period of time. So let's get into it. I'm going to give you a little Power Rangers review for those of you who didn't care. It was off your radar.
That would be me. Yeah. I mean, I'm familiar culturally, but I wasn't doing, I don't know what I was.
It was definitely like people who watched, especially, I mean,
it's like mid-90s we're talking about.
Later than that, I would say. And it went into the 2000s, and I think it felt very like Pokemon type experience for like my little brothers. They were very into all that paraphernalia. So it first aired on August 28th, 1993. I guess, okay. So early into later, the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers debuted on Fox and was a huge hit. It became a phenomenon after it sold so many toys. It had all of these offshoots. But again, it had a really dark history that centered around a lot of the people that were involved. It consists of 27 television seasons of 20 different theme series, and had three films in 1995, 1997, and 2017. That's pretty current. Each series and a movie essentially had the same premise. They revolve around a team of kids or young adults recruited and trained by a mentor to do what the title of the show says, morph into Power Rangers and fight evil in spandex with special powers and gigantic assault machines called Zords to overcome different antagonists. Each ranger had a unique color, a helmet design, weapon. They had some minor styling differences and had different powers like psychic abilities or invisibility. When enemies grow to incredible sizes, as they pretty much always do in every episode, Rangers will use their individual Zords, those machines that they have attributed to each of them, to combine into a larger Megazord.
I think I always wondered, I was like, part? Well, I remember, like, you're going to get to this part anyway. Why don't you just start with this?
Yeah.
Just start.
We know. Yeah.
Big and mighty. Right away, instead of...
it's like a design show.
I know, yeah.
They're going to end with a beautiful...
Sure, yeah.
House.
It wouldn't be much of a show.
You've
got to
go
just,
on the journey.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So Power Rangers can only use their powers for good, and they can't use them for personal gain or disclose their identities, which, you know, is difficult when they're all kind of like wily teenagers. In the original series, the wizard Zordon recruits teenagers with attitude... that's a quote, to be rangers against Rita Repulsa, an evil kind of humanoid alien witch who lives in a space dumpster, plus her large army of monsters. So that is the premise. That's the Power Rangers. It's always like that. It's never not like that. The cast rotates. There's usually like three to six Power Rangers. Sometimes there's a special one. You know, sometimes one of them goes away. You know, like, it's always the same. So most famously, I think if you think about the Power Rangers, you think about tragedy, is the death of the Yellow Ranger, which was pretty well publicized. It also, like, wasn't that far. It was in September 3rd, 2001 is when she died. So it was not too far after the popularity of her seasons of Power Rangers. Her name was Trini Kwan. She was the Yellow Ranger. And on September 3rd, 2001, she was to be a bridesmaid to former actress model Angela Rackwood, the ex-wife of 21 Jump Street's Dustin Nguyen. I think that's how his name is.
I know that is, yeah. That's more my 21 Jump Street.
Yeah, see, we're linking worlds now. The two women were passengers in a car traveling on the 5 between San Francisco and Los Angeles. They were returning late at night from their visit with Angela's maid of honor, and the driver, another one of Angela's bridesmaids, lost control of the vehicle. The car swerved violently across the road before hitting a roadside rock face, flipping several times before hitting the safety rail and plunging over the bank. Horrible.
Maybe it fell asleep or...
I don't know. Like, again, the 5 is so long and it's very flat. It's
you can
not
zone
the
out.
Scenic route.
Yeah,
of
it's a quicker
going,
route.
Yeah, exactly. When you're going from San Francisco to LA or vice versa, there's the 101, which is like beautiful, like craggy rocks, ocean sides. And there's the 5, which goes through like pretty much like... animal mills and garlic fields and lettuce fields and stuff like that. So late at night, you know, you're tired, you're doing all this like bride stuff. Maybe something happens. Angela, who claimed that both she was wearing a seatbelt or not wearing a seatbelt in different interviews, survived despite being thrown out of the vehicle through a window before its final impact. As a result, though, she is a quadriplegic. Trang, who it is believed wasn't wearing a seatbelt, died in the crash before reaching the hospital due to internal injuries she had sustained. The driver didn't suffer any lasting injuries, but it hasn't been confirmed whether she was wearing a seatbelt or not, what her deal was. The episode Circuit Unsure of Power Rangers Time Force was dedicated to Trini Kwan, her Thai Trang's memory. Many of her castmates from Mighty Morphin Power Rangers attended her funeral. Castmate and close friend Amy Jo Johnson, who plays Kimberly Hart, the Pink Ranger, spoke at her funeral. Really, really sad. She died very young. Horrific death. So I think if you hear about the Power Rangers and tragedy, you probably heard about her death. Because she is also kind of the canonical, like, foundational cast member. Also in that cast... Jason David Frank, or Tommy the Green Ranger / White Ranger, had a tragedy happen to him, and he was not at her funeral because he was at his brother, Eric Ray Frank's funeral. His older brother died at age 29 of an unspecified illness. Jason got his brother Eric a job as a grip on the show, and he worked on the show, kind of got along with everybody, became embedded in the show, and he eventually played the on-screen long-lost brother of Tommy in Power Rangers Zeo. This happened because Eric was, again, really well-liked on set, caught the eye of Douglas Sloan, the supervising producer of the show, who also was an acting coach for a lot of the people on the set and on cast and gave Eric kind of a shot to act. He took the job and he was doing great. And again, everyone was kind of like really impressed by him. And he was supposed to be written in as the Golden Ranger before he died. And I can't find anything on what the unspecified illness even is. It's very mysterious. It's very weird and very tragic, too. Think about a guy whose younger brother gets this great opportunity. His younger brother's like, I'm going to take you with me. You know, works really hard, gets noticed, gets a job, and then is slated to be essentially like one of the main spinoff characters on another show, like, or on another show and part of the narrative of the Power Rangers. It's really, really sad. So now let's move on to a lesser known Power Ranger actor, former child actor Skylar DeLeon. DeLeon, I'm going to say it like that, began acting in small parts in commercials as a kid. At age 14, he appeared in Mighty Morphin Power Rangers as an uncredited extra in the episode Second Chance. As an adult, he struggled to remember lines. His career faltered. At age 20, he joined the Marines. He left 15 days later and then formally was dishonorably discharged. Couldn't find out anything beyond that, but already off to a rocky start post Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Skylar DeLeon answered an ad for a yacht for sale from Thomas Hawks, a retired probation officer and bodybuilder. He and his wife Jackie owned a 55-foot yacht, the Well Deserved, which they treated as their permanent home, and they sailed around the world for 2 years in it. They were selling it to be closer to their family and grandchild. The couple was initially cautious of DeLeon, but they became more warm to him when he brought along his then-pregnant wife Jennifer and their other child to a kind of a ship meet-and-greet, I guess? The Hawks were last seen alive on the morning of November 15th, 2004, headed out of the harbor with DeLeon and his girlfriend. The yacht returned, but the Hawks did not. Soon, police got involved. On November 26th, 2004, an attempt was made to access the Hawks' bank account from Mexico. The family was notified and filed a missing persons report when the Carlsbad Police Department took in that information, and everyone was getting a lot more freaked out about the whole thing. On November 29th, the police interviewed Skylar DeLeon. He told them that he bought the boat from the Hawkses and showed them proof of purchase documents. He stated to the police that the Hawkses left in their car with the money, denied being in their car, and named Alonzo McChain as witness to the purchase. The reason that he bought the boat, he claimed, was that he intended to launder money related to an armed burglary in 2002 for which he had been convicted. Now, I'm not sure why he would say that he was going to launder money related to something that of his past record. I think that that information was brought up maybe later in this case, trying to recoup. In any case, I don't think that's why this happened. In March 2005, after initially fleeing to Mexico and then returning, McChain confessed to the crime. He was arrested in connection with the couple's disappearance, along with DeLeon and DeLeon's wife, Jennifer, girlfriend. Skylar DeLeon initially maintained his innocence, claiming that he was not present at the time and speculating that the Hawkses were killed over a drug deal gone bad. A lot of ideas flinging around here. Authorities alleged that during a sea trial of the boat in Newport Beach Harbor, DeLeon masterminded a plan and got his accomplices to help. They bound and gagged the couple and threw them overboard, tied to the yacht's anchor. DeLeon's wife, Jennifer, was found guilty on two counts of first-degree murder on November 17, 2006, after 4 hours of jury deliberation. She now called herself Jennifer Henderson since she divorced Skylar only a few months after the murders. She was sentenced to two life terms without the possibility of parole. She is currently incarcerated at the Central California Women's Facility.
But she is single.
She is single.
So I'm just trying to, you know.
Correct.
Yeah.
She is single. She's been through a lot. She needs a shoulder to cry on, maybe a prison pen pal, which I considered doing for a long time. While awaiting trial in jail, Skylar DeLeon was also charged with soliciting another inmate to murder his abusive father and his cousin. Once you're in jail, it doesn't stop. This guy never stops. He was also accused of killing John Jarvie, a resident of Anaheim, who was found dead in Mexico in 2003. DeLeon's father and cousin, who was charged as an accessory to the Jarvie murder, are considered important witnesses in both murder cases. On March 13th, 2008, DeLeon partially severed his penis with a razor blade while being held in jail. It gets worse. After receiving medical attention, he was returned to jail the following day. In an interview with ABC's 2020, DeLeon indicated that he attempted to cut off his penis because he wanted to be a woman. Defense lawyers claim that DeLeon's need for money to finance a sex change operation was the motivation for the Hawks' murders. Oh, that's a lot. That's a lot, I will say.
It's a lot to unpack.
It really is. On October 20th, DeLeon was convicted of 3 counts of first-degree murder with special circumstances for financial gain and multiple victims. On November 6th, 2008, the jury rendered a death verdict. He's on death row at San Quentin as we speak. The bodies of Thomas and Jackie Hawks, unfortunately, have never been found. A real light note to take a break on?
Yeah, it's nice and light.
Today's episode is sponsored by Best Fiends. I have to tell you about Best Fiends. It's the game everyone is talking about. I love it because it's the perfect break from true crime research, weird history research, UFO research. It still really challenges my brain because it's a puzzle game, and I love solving puzzles. But it's a casual game, so it doesn't stress me out, which is perfect these days. And lately, I've been using it as a fun way to connect with my friends and family while still social distancing like me. I haven't seen my brother in a while, so I've been playing Best Fiends with him, and it's fun to casually compete with him since we can't do it in person. Best Fiends updates the game monthly with new levels and events, so it never gets old. Best Fiends does not require internet to play, so you don't need to worry about Wi-Fi access or using your cell data. When I need a break from editing, my go-to is Best Fiends. Engage your brain with fun puzzles and collect tons of cute characters. Trust me, with over 100 million downloads, this 5-star rated mobile puzzle game is a must-play. Download Best Fiends free on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R. Best Fiends.
Hello. Hi, how are you?
Hi.
Checking in. This is us.
Hello, checking it's us. You. It is us.
Let us be your sounding board.
Yeah.
Can you be ours?
I'll be your mirror.
Yeah, somebody do. Yeah, that was. Yes, I have to talk about the book again.
Yeah, that's okay book. Though.
That is, it's okay, right? I mean, yeah. I try to make it as minimal as possible, but I have to talk about it. But giving away 5 copies, there's a link wherever you're listening to this podcast, mm-hmm. and you could win a free copy, or you can find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, plenty of indie bookstores. You can go to Ghost Town. pod.com/book. Check it out. Rebecca wrote the foreword. If you want a signed copy.
Ooh.
I don't know why, you know, I mean, maybe you want a signed copy from me or us or whatever. That could happen. We just let us know and we'll figure that out. But
I'll find a pen.
Yeah, so if you it's abandoned in historic Los Angeles, neon and beyond. You can find it everywhere, and if you want to get it on Amazon, you'll have it by the day it comes out. I think if you pre-order it now, you'll have it on the day it comes out.
And yeah, what is that, September?
28th. Yeah, so you'll have it then. And I got excited. I geeked out a little bit. I don't know if you're familiar with the band The Specials. Mm-hmm. If you're into that second wave ska, I guess that'd be second wave ska. The bass player told me, he's like, I just pre-ordered your book. And I was like, that's like... Never would have, I don't know, just to me that was very, very, very exciting. And also, patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
That's right.
Tons of bonus episodes at this point.
Goodness.
So many. And advanced and ad-free episodes. Mm-hmm. There should be another new, I found very, probably one of the ones that disturbed me the most. It will be on Patreon. Rebecca doesn't know what it is.
I don't know what it is yet, and I am dying.
But she will know by the time you're listening to this right now. Yes. And it's available, patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
You can't unknow that address, and you can't unknow.
I have Patreon. Another – I'm going to ask more of people. I'm just putting it out there. I just want to take, and give nothing in return.
Okay.
Or you can say that was something in return. It's free. I'm kind of rebooting my YouTube channel, which once upon a time was successful, but I was like, oh, I want to promote the good word of Ghost Town. So I'm just taking episodes that I really liked. And my friend David Prater is doing a really great job editing them, and he's making them seem really interesting. Mm-hmm.
They are really interesting. The editing is very good.
The editing is very, very good. And you can find that at youtube.com/ghosttownpod. If you can subscribe or give them the thumbs up, and actually, I just did one on Action Park.
So yes. Part 3.
I added some new information because the director reached out and he says he liked our episode.
That is so – when people who are so intimately affiliated with something we talk about reaches out to say that they liked it.
And they
it.
Weren't mad at it.
Yeah, I know, I'm always like just concerned that they're like, you piece of garbage, rip off, imposters.
No, he liked it. And, you know, because, you know, we did the first one and he mm-hmm. reached out to FedEx saying, I'm doing Class Action Park, mm-hmm. which you should be checking out. And it seems like people, like, it's getting around if you like Facebook or whatever people Definitely. Are talking about it. And I think that's really, really great. So I was like, I wanted him to record some audio, but he just mm-hmm. gave me some things that were not in the documentary. And you could find that. It will be out very, very soon at youtube.com/Jason Horton.
Amazing.
Check that out. So I wanted to add, so it's not just like regurgitating the same thing.
This is like a fun scavenger hunt of information. Go Class Action Park. Listen to our episode. Go to Jason's YouTube. You can put it all together. You can be an authority in Action Park. Don't you want that?
What are you going to do with it? I don't know.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Don't even go to a trivia competition with it. It's too obscure.
It's too obscure. Yeah.
You'll just know. You'll sleep better. You'll sleep easier. Just do it.
And for those who gave us a nice rate and review on Apple Podcasts, we appreciate it. And we will have some more for our starting with the Alderman Patreon.
We got
a couple of Aldermans. We have a couple of mayors.
Yeah.
So hello to our mayors, Brandon mm-hmm. Gaddis, Jeanette Link, Ben mm-hmm. Forsyth, and Ashley Mattson in the house. Brand spanking new mayor, shaking
this town will
it
have
up.
Order if it's the death of them.
But we have a new series where we kind of take on documentaries and our mm-hmm. take on them. And the one that we've been watching.
Oh, baby.
We're going to tell you what it is.
No.
But it's so good.
Oh, God. I can't.
And that starts at the alderman level and yes. up. And our beloved governor, mm-hmm. beloved governor, Chris Witt.
Love
hello.
Him. Hello, hello.
He should have his t-shirt hopefully by now.
Yeah, I hope so too.
It takes a little while to get the t-shirts apparently, or it staggers depending on where you live.
Yeah.
But we do have shirts.
They're great.
They're great. So hello to all of them. Hello mm-hmm. to all our patrons. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Keep things going. I just donated some of the money to there's a water fund for, it's just been very hot and LA, you know, for everybody.
Yeah.
So there's a water fund. I donated some of the money to it. I didn't ask. I just did it because it's very hot.
It's so hot. It was, we don't even live in the hottest part of LA. Yeah. It was 112 degrees yesterday.
Which is
oppressively hot.
Yeah. We are oppressed in Los Angeles.
We are oppressed here. My air conditioning is oppressing me.
Yeah, so but we hope you're staying safe and mm-hmm. and you're staying hydrated and you're keeping it together.
Yeah, keep it together if you can, but really your only job, I've talked about this with a lot of people, is to not get people sick and not get sick yourself.
That's it. That's all we ask.
That's all we ask.
Except for the 10
Plus
other things
the Patreon,
we yeah, the 10
YouTube,
things we
the
ask.
Subscribing, the rate and review.
Oh, and tell me I'm pretty.
Could you?
Yes.
Tell Jason he's pretty and just Venmo me.
Yeah.
That's all I want. We're going to jump to 2015 with another Power Ranger actor, much bigger than an extra, let's say, who killed people on a boat. Ricardo Medina Jr. played Cole Evans, the Red Wild Force Ranger on Power Rangers Wild Force, and later Decker, the half-human cursed Nightlock in Power Rangers Samurai, which was an animated version. On New Year's Eve, 36-year-old Ricardo Medina got into a fight with his roommate, Josh Sutter, in their Green Valley, California apartment that's close to Palmdale, if you know LA area. They had only lived there for 2 months. The actor and Sutter had been arguing about Medina's girlfriend parking outside of their home, which happens. Parking is precious, and things got heated. The argument started in the kitchen, and then Medina and his girlfriend ran into Medina's bedroom and locked the door. Sutter knocked down the door, and at that point, Medina picked up a samurai sword that he kept next to his door and fatally stabbed Sutter in the abdomen. Medina called emergency services, and Sutter was pronounced dead upon arrival at the hospital. Medina was initially held on a $1 million bail. No charges were filed against him from the district attorney due to requests on further investigation, so he was released on February 3rd, 2015. Medina claimed that he stabbed Sutter in self-defense after Sutter forced open the door of Medina's bedroom. This is also just like a bad, bad situation. Feel like it, something like was silly, like parking escalated into a human dying. How does that happen in a matter of
by
like
sword?
Minutes? By sword, by that's samurai sword.
That's a pretty intense, I mean, there's, you know, that's not like a knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah, no, I mean, and again, I feel like I could be wrong. I don't really know. Just from my research, it's like these two like aggro guys with, when a weapon is thrown into the mix, something bad's going to happen. Medina was originally charged with murder, but it was taken down to manslaughter. Still, he received a maximum sentence after moving testimony from Sutter's family. Put this killer in general prison population so he will see and feel the same fear that Joshua must have felt, the victim's father, Donald Sutter, said. On March 30th, 2017, Medina was sentenced to the maximum of 6 years in prison. He's in jail right now as we record this. Again, really, like, this is one where it's not like two people are getting killed. This just feels like a just bad aggro moment in these two people's lives and someone gets killed. It just feels, I'm frustrated by it, kind of a thing. So then we have another tragic. The tragedies keep coming. We're in the wave pool of tragedies, but don't worry. We're getting through it together. In December 2019, after a name suppression order, which I didn't realize existed, was lifted, the domestic violence case against Pua Magasiva, who played Shane Clark, the Red Ranger from Power Rangers Ninja Storm. Magasiva met his wife, Elizabeth Sadler, a teacher, in April of 2018 on Instagram. While the abuses started early, his wife was silenced because coming out, he always said, would hurt his career. In June of last year, after spending an evening at the Takapuna restaurant with his friends, the couple reached a boiling point. It led Magasiva to assaulting his wife, which included spitting in her face and putting her in a headlock. In April 2019, he was convicted of domestic assault. Puas was sentenced to 70 hours of community work and 6 months of supervision. According to his wife, he had engaged in a regular pattern of abuse, concussed her 3 times, and threatened to harm her, himself, and their daughter if she went to the police. She claimed to have later found a diary belonging to him showing, quote, pages full of haunting images, tortured thoughts, and self-loathing, and admitting that he had always been very violent and very angry. On May 11, 2019, Pua Magasiva died of a suspected suicide in a hotel room in Wellington, New Zealand. His widow stated that he attacked her in a drunken rage the night he died. That's another really sad, really bad piece of information relating to the Power Rangers. Now I have some quick ones for you. Again, not as detailed, not as violent, but tragic nonetheless. Machiko Soga, who was with Power Rangers since the beginning, like in the franchise in Japan, through like almost every incarnation and rebranded as Rita Repulsa, again, a very iconic villain, the most popular one in the Power Rangers franchise, died of pancreatic cancer at age 68. She was found alone in her apartment. Very tragic. The actor who portrayed Zordon, Robert L. Manahan, who was just like, if you remember Zordon, which I didn't, he's just like a head on a stage who bestowed the Rangers their powers and kind of like served as their Ilian mentor. He died of a heart aneurysm at age 43. Actor Walter Jones, who played Zack, is missing his middle finger on his left hand. It's hard to notice. The Ranger suits have gloves, so you can't really tell. But when he's out of his costume, you can see it. Rumors circulated the actor lost his finger on set, but he did not. He was in an accident at age 4, and that is not Power Ranger related.
And still, he became a Power Ranger, which involves, you know, your fists and being athletic and stuff like that. So that's a
big feat.
Yeah.
So I wanted to leave you with that one, which is like a little bit, again, a little bit lighter than perhaps the other things. But I was also thinking about why this might have happened. Like, why this happened? Why does this curse exist more generally?
I have a theory, and this is, I'm going to generalize big time.
Big time generalization happening.
Well, one, there's a lot of people, a lot of, you know, kind of rotating cast or, you know, people come and go, and there's different parts of the franchise, I think, too. Yeah. So it's a wide net of people, but it is also a very, I guess you want to say, athletic kind of, like, you know, use the word aggro. It is an aggro thing, you know what I mean? It's, you know, you're a superhero and, you know, probably pretty fit people. Mm-hmm. And maybe with that, possibly things come along with that. It's again, huge generalization because plenty of people
ever do that.
And I don't know what goes, you know, do people use steroids or, you know, growth hormones, things that, you know, might alter your state. You know what I mean? That, you know, that messing with, you know, your testosterone or hormones or whatever. And again, speculation, because I knew, and this is the only one thing I knew before, was Jason David Frank. This isn't bad, but he was an MMA fighter. I don't know if he still is. And this is not what I'm saying about him, but it's that kind of, you know, world that you kind of live in, and not for him, but maybe some of the other people that it might come along with it. Again, generalizing the whole thing. And
I totally agree with that. Yeah. I think, you know, you're like an action star.
But plus you're an actor and a performer. Mm-hmm. Stresses me, you know, coming at different levels. You're not above or below any of that.
Totally. And I think, like, this show in particular, it's not like you're on a network, but like you're not a TV star in the way that we think of TV stars. You're not very high profile. You're on a kids show. It's pretty popular. So you're like making okay money, but you have to stay fit. You're young. Like, again, I don't know. Like,
maybe you're making more money than you've had before.
Yeah.
But I think there's probably to the people that are huge fan, I think it probably has a huge cult like fan base. You know, I don't know if they have conventions or mm-hmm. whatever. So the level, you know, what is a star and the pressure of being a star is contextual.
Yeah.
So that might, you throw that into there. I don't know.
Yeah, I definitely think so. But you're right, like the rotating cast and, you know, just kind of like making assumptions about union, non-union, the amount of money that they were getting, like still not feeling like super secure, I would think. Yeah, what you need, like what is required of you to be a part of something like this.
And then people have lives and backgrounds that mm-hmm. you know, everyone, you know, comes from as a different road they take to get mm-hmm. there. And how does that play in? And they're just, you know, human beings with flaws and faults and stuff like that. So you just mix that all up and, you know, mm-hmm. then you get the curse of the Power Rangers, I guess.
That's what you get.
Wrap that up at night.
Okay.
What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
History is full of bizarre, unsolved mysteries. And over time, these stories have been bent by rumor, warped by social media, and twisted into legend. I'm Michael May, and on A Study of Strange, we dig into these real mysteries and seek the truth, as close as we can get anyway. Recently, we've covered true crime cases like the Greystone Mansion murder, the Red Lipstick Killer, and America's first reported serial killers. Of course, every now and then we also dive into the odd, esoteric, and paranormal, including vanishing people, haunted locations, and UFO history. So if you like your mysteries historical, or if you love a good debunking every now and then, search A Study of Strange wherever you listen to podcasts. And remember, the truth is always stranger than fiction.